I'll take honourable. Have a seat, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And speaking of honeymoons, Janelle, we've got Connor and Beth, our newlyweds in the house. Well done. Had the privilege of being part of their wedding ceremony a couple of weeks back, so that was fantastic. It was the day we had two weddings in our church on one day, so very good. Really pleased to have you guys with us this morning. I've actually given a fair bit of thought about Mother's Day over time, and it's an interesting day. You know, churches like ours, we often, you know, make a bit of a thing about Mother's Day and have a celebration, have a theme and all sorts of things like that. But running alongside that, I've noticed over time that Mother's Day is often not an easy service for people. You know, I've noticed that we do Mother's Day, Father's Day services, and oftentimes the Father's Day service, of course, just happens. But Mother's Day seems to embody a little more emotion. And over the years, we've had people that have struggled to be in church on a Mother's Day for all sorts of reasons. You know, it can be just that it brings up the emotion of, you know, of loss. It can bring up the emotion of difficult relationships. It can, and then, you know, people that have battled with infertility, there's stuff around that. There's all sorts of things that actually often go alongside a Mother's Day service. And then over the years, we've thought, we always want that to be a way that we celebrate mums, but we celebrate, you know, all women in our world as part of Mother's Day. And that's something that we've always taken on board. But it hasn't sort of taken away sometimes the emotion or the sting of that. And I've given a lot of thought to that over years. And I this morning really wanted to talk my theme. If you see it on the thing there, have you got the theme slide?
It's in the middle.
Is it? It's in the middle. It doesn't look any different to me, but yeah, that's because I'm dyslexic, and that sort of writing. So it's the thing about women. The thing about women. Now that might. You know, that might sound a little bit male-centric, but it's not where I'm going. So just give me a little bit of grace here. Yeah. Here's where I'm going with this. Tragically, I think, and we know throughout history, women have endured incredible oppression. And I think much more than men. You know, just the natural biological strength factor that women have often been oppressed throughout history in all sorts of ways. And it's interesting at the moment, and I think with where we are at this point, I'm going to go a little more controversial this morning. So be ready. If you don't agree with me, it doesn't matter. You can come and tell me you don't agree, but that's okay. But where we are in history at the moment, you know, we're at the end of a century where there has been a huge shift, and I think in the most part it's been really good, a huge shift in our understanding and our empowerment of women, like you know. Less than 100 years ago, or whatever it was in Australia, I can't remember the dates, you know, women couldn't even vote. I mean, how ridiculous, you know, that half of the population didn't get to vote. And so there's been a massive change in that time. But right now we're at a juncture where everybody's too scared to actually even define a woman. What's a woman? And you know, you got these very learned people are giving the answer. I'm not a biologist. Now, why is that? And then as we look at the outcome of that, as we look at you know, one of the obvious debates that's on at the moment about, you know, about women and sport and, you know, who should compete in women's sport and all that's going on. And then I look back, perhaps in some of my simplicity, but when I look at it, I think, who are going to be the victims in all this? Guess who? Women. And so to me, it feels like in our enlightenment, there is actually a new assault, believe it or not, on women. Why would that be? So despite everything we've fought for, the stats tell us that there's incredible hardship, even in our very modern world, in Australia here. The stats tell us that 1 in 6 women are likely to have experienced abuse at the hands of a male partner, generally speaking. On average, listen to this, on average, and you know, we've dealt with people in this scenario in our world and people that we've walked alongside. On average, one woman a week in Australia is actually killed by a current or former partner. That's incredible, isn't it? And apparently it's, just to give you the balance of that, on the other side of the equation, it's about one man a month in Australia is killed by a current or former partner. And again, I ask, why is this? And I've given this a bit of thought. Of some of you know perhaps where I'm going, but let's come right back to Genesis. Genesis 3, and it says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals that the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say to you not to eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat,' God said. 'You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' said the serpent, as he replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and that its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She took and she ate the fruit. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and suddenly they felt shame and their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves." So there you go. Many of you have heard that account and you're familiar with it. And sometimes that account is portrayed, and we talk about the fall. Obviously, other people call it original sin, or that sense where there was this break in relationship and trust between humanity and God. And sometimes I've heard people teach that, you know, that the serpent thought, well, and the serpent is the embodiment of the devil or Satan in that sense. But, you know, why did he go to the woman? Why didn't he go to Adam? And sometimes you think, look, he went to the woman because she was the most vulnerable one. Or she was the one that he felt he could manipulate. No, I think that, I've done some study on this, and I think that's actually rubbish. I think the reason that he did that is that he had it in for her. He had it in for her even more than the man. Why would he have it in for the woman more than the man? You see, The issue here was around that was that he saw humanity as a threat. You know, we've got two boys, and they do all the competition around sibling rivalry. And parents have experienced that. Recently we've been looking after another little boy, sort of every second weekend or so for a couple of weeks, and in just giving some respite care to this little boy. And he's just a little bit younger than our youngest one. And again, you just see the sibling rivalry going on. You see somebody thinking, oh, is he stepping into my space? I've got to make sure that I manage my space. And there's this whole competition thing. Now I believe that the enemy actually saw humanity as a major threat. And there is actually a line of thinking. If you let me go a little bit deeper here, whilst I'm not going to say I'm not a biologist, I'll also say I'm not a theologian, but have been around theology. but there's a line of thinking that pretty much that the devil and the whole evil thing didn't really completely turn until there were men and women together and there was a future for humanity. And suddenly this stirred something in this entity that we call the devil, or this person that we call the devil. And suddenly he thought, well, I've got to deal with this. So what am I going to do? I am going to turn the woman. I'm going to take out the woman. Why? Because she can carry life. She is the future. She can carry life, which is the very seed that God put into humanity that was for the future that he had planned. And he thought, I am going to destroy that at the start. I'm going to nip this in the bud before it gets going. Who am I going to go for? I am going to go for the woman because she carries life. And sometimes you girls in the house here, you've thought, well, it's just sometimes it's hard being a girl. It's hard being a bloke sometimes, isn't it, Grant? Here's the thing. Today I want to speak to about much more than about whether somebody's a mum, biological or otherwise. I want women. And perhaps I want to talk a little bit about what that oppression is that actually comes against women. Why is it when we've fought in our society for so long to bring what we might call equality and more enlightenment and all that, and all of a sudden I'm watching a new attack on women. And I believe that there is always been that there. And whilst that might not seem fair if you're a girl, it means because that women have actually had that capacity to actually produce life, a very spirit that is in the image of God. So there has been this oppression and this attack right from the start. The result of this, it goes on. Then the Lord said to them, Genesis 3:14 to 18. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly. So I don't know how the snake got around before then. Maybe, I don't know whether it sped around on its tail or whatever. But you know, all of a sudden, it's going to crawl on its belly. Groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Now, what's your relationship like with snakes? Literally and otherwise. Funnily enough, over the summer holidays in January, we were at St. Helens, and I was mountain bike riding there with Cody, and we're doing this track, and he goes down this bit of a hill, and I was reasonably close behind him, and the next thing he squealed. quite a squeal that perhaps in many years to come he wouldn't be proud of, but a real squeal. And I looked down and he stopped, and here's the snake. And it was actually right underneath his bike, and he stopped, and he had his left foot up on a pedal, and he had his right foot on the ground, and the snake's head at that moment was under his left foot, under the pedal. He squealed, and I shouted. I said, "Cody, don't move." And thankfully, he stayed there as the snake just scurried on its belly off the track. All was well. But you know, the obvious relationship between people and snakes is not a comfortable one, is it? But more than this, we understand the literal understanding of that prophecy. We've all experienced it, we all feel it. But what was it actually saying? See, more than this, these verses declared that the offspring of Eve, and it's actually important here, it's not the offspring of Adam and Eve, it was actually the offspring of the woman. The offspring of Eve would actually defeat Satan through Jesus the Messiah. You see, this is the first messianic, if you like, prophecy in the Bible. It's straight after things go wrong. It's straight after evil wants to oppress and deceive and bring division and all that actually came into that place. You know, we get the first domestic argument there. We get God turning up and saying, "Oh, Adam, what's going on here? You know, I gave you a way that was going to work for you. I gave you everything. And you've mucked it up." And what was his response? "The woman you gave me made me do it." Straight away, he passes the buck. He blames her. So sin's entered the world. We got the first domestic argument. Immediately, here's the prophecy from God. Immediately is a messianic prophecy of redemption for humanity. In that moment, he says, "From the seed of the woman." The one that Adam had said, "Look, she's mucked it up, it's her fault." And he actually says, "From her will come the answer, will come redemption, and Satan is going to be defeated." The prophecy also gives this hint, of course, of the virgin birth, declaring that the Messiah would be from the seed of the woman, as I've said, but not from Adam. God's plan for freedom from oppression began with that redemption right there in that moment. And it's interesting. Now, so let me take you through the genealogy of Jesus. And we get all the way through. We get women who, I think, come under strategic attack of the enemy, are actually redeemed. So many of you know the story. There's a lady called Tamar. And she gets married, and her husband in those days, you know, bearing children and having children was much bigger than it is now. It was like if you didn't have that, you were almost nothing. And so her husband dies before she could have children, and the way that was supposed to happen was that she was actually supposed to marry one of her brother-in-laws, and he was going to make sure that she had children and therefore had a future. And the brother-in-law that she was given to said, "Oh, well, that's a bit of a threat to me and my other kids, so I'm just going to make sure that she doesn't get pregnant." And many of you know the story. That was oppression. That was an attack on her. And eventually she deceives her father-in-law. She masquerades as a prostitute and ends up getting pregnant from Judah. And she has these kids. And she's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. And that seed was the line of Jesus. There you go. Bit of scandal for you. Again, a woman who was oppressed is redeemed in the line of Jesus. Fast forward a little bit. The Hebrews, they come out of slavery, and eventually, after 40 years of mucking around, they get to a point where they can go into the promised land. You know, the spies go into Canaan, and then two guys are there in the city of Jericho doing reconnaissance. And they go to a prostitute's house. And she's part of this plan. She's part of this city actually being redeemed for God's purposes. Her name was Rahab. Again, Rahab is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. I mean, she's a prostitute. Why was she a prostitute? In those, you know, no one wanted to be a prostitute. Obviously, she had not too many other options, and that's where she was. Evil had come against her. God redeems her and puts her in the genealogy of Jesus. And then you go on, we go on to Ruth. Ruth is essentially a refugee. She's in a place where she leaves a situation because of tragedy and famine, and ends up coming to Israel with her mother-in-law, and she gets into that place and eventually marries this guy called Boaz, who had also had a pretty tough time of it. And it ends up in the genealogy of Jesus. She's the great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel. And then fast forward a bit further to Mary, the woman who had the honour of carrying Jesus. And again, she was a young girl. In all that, she had to go through the fact that she found herself being pregnant before she was married and all that could have gone on with that. But God finds a way, and she is redeemed and held high. There is a story of redemption. And I believe that women throughout history have been under attack because of the jealousy of evil and wanting to take out humanity. But all the way through, right from the start, God's had a plan of redemption. So what does it mean? Okay, this morning I've gone a little bit deeper than we do on a Mother's Day service sometimes. As followers of Jesus, we are redeemed. What's our role? This is what it says in Micah 6, verse 8. See, we have been given the freedom and the authority to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly before God. So does that means that we actually are part of God's redemptive plan. That means that when there is oppression, when all those things are going on, we don't just stand there and say, oh, this is sad. Or we don't just think, oh, gee, women came under attack from the start because the enemy had it in for them, so that's just how it is. No, it was never meant to be like that. We are redeemed to make a difference. We are redeemed to actually put right what went wrong. Fast forward a little bit further. Paul's writing to the Galatians. He's writing in the first century, and the backdrop to this is really interesting. Where all of a sudden, it wasn't suddenly all very enlightened. There's still plenty of oppression around. You know, it is a society where women are oppressed. It is a society where there are slaves. It is a society where all that is going on. And he writes to the Galatians, and he said, because we are in Christ. In other words, we have this relationship with Jesus. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? So an enemy has a plan to bring division and oppression and put people down. Why? Because he was jealous. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he overcame, when he actually did bruise that enemy's head, when he actually overcame that, he's able to usher us in to a new season where he says, there is neither Greek nor Jew. In other words, there's no difference between those that were the chosen race of God to bring about God's purpose of redemption for all humanity. He says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free. Imagine that. You're a slave in those times, in that Roman times, and you're reading this. And you're saying, there is neither slave nor free. As far as God's concerned, as far as my relationship with Jesus goes, there is no difference between me and that master I serve. There is no difference between me and that master who oppresses me. I am valuable in Christ. And imagine that. You're a woman living in those times, and you've experienced the thinking around that, and all of a sudden you read, there is no longer male or female, we are all one in Christ. What a revelation. And that was first century. But come on, we live in the 21st century. We believe we're enlightened, but the plan still goes on, and we've got to be part of the solution. I just want to make sure that we actually honour women today. It's all very well. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, we've been in this for so long. We're not thinking about that. Well, there is oppression that is going on. It is still going on. That's why today we actually want to even take a moment to honour women.
That's right.
And say, you are loved. You are valuable. You are amazing in God's sight. There is neither male nor female in the kingdom of God. Does that mean there are differences? Or no differences? It actually means we're one in Christ. Of course there are differences. Yeah. Right from the start, God made us male and female. He made us nearly the same, but just a little bit different. And there's incredible differences in that are amazing, that are part of humanity actually surviving. At the time Galatians was written, hey, this is the prayer that they believed that many of the rabbis used, and it was pretty popular among Jews of the day. So a Jewish man would thank God that he was not born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. And so Paul takes on each of these categories here. He says that in Christ, we're all equal. It's no difference. So when we say we're one in Christ, has Christ abolished these distinctions? He didn't mean that at all. In fact, it's interesting that Paul actually is bringing in, even when you look at the slave and the free thing, he didn't even say in the context of that culture, masters, you've got to set your slaves free. He actually said, if you're in Christ, you've got to understand that you are brothers and sisters in Christ. You're one and you're equal in Christ. So you treat that person with the same dignity that you would treat anybody else. He didn't actually say in the context of that slavery had to stop. He actually left that for people to work out what that meant. In other words, he understood that culture takes time to shift, that those things that actually hold up a society actually work, and they just need time to evolve and process and all that sort of thing. But he said the important thing is that you understand in Christ that you are one, and you all are to be treated with the same dignity and respect and value that caused Jesus to die on the cross. So this Sunday, as Mother's Day, I think it's an opportunity to celebrate the women in our world. And sometimes as blokes we think, oh yeah, we've heard all this women's rights stuff for 50 years or whatever, but there's a reason for it. And I think we've got to understand that it's actually up to all of us to give that honour and understand that there's a journey that different parts of us work. And if you're a girl or a lady or a woman or whatever term you want to use here this morning, we want to thank you for walking the journey. I want to thank you for being who you are. And we want to acknowledge that the stuff that goes on that's perhaps different to what many of us blokes face. And we want to honour you and thank you for who you are. In that, we choose. We still choose to honour those that have walked that journey of motherhood. And again, I acknowledge that there's a lot of emotion around that. I grew up in a bit of a male-centric family in some ways, because for most of my upbringing, all my brothers, all my siblings were brothers. So we had four boys, dad and mum. So it was a very male sort of environment, and all that went on with that. It was pretty robust. It was pretty loud, and lots that went on with that. And in that we had this amazing woman that did what she was called to do, and loved us and looked after us and did that in an incredible way. It's just a little bit of my journey. And you've all got a journey like that. And I acknowledge there'd be people here that haven't had the privilege of having, you know, having your mother directly in your world. And again, we want to acknowledge that. But I also want to say that Jesus actually wants to bring about a personal redemption to people in that. Because I think as we choose to honour women, and we choose, as Janelle actually pointed out, there she is, she's looking at me now. As Janelle pointed out, the stuff that we all carry. And I just felt to engage a little bit with this whole thing around Mother's Day. First of all, most to give a bit of explanation as to why I think it's quite charged, and to why I think that we live at a time in history where it's becoming very charged again. Some of these things will pass. But the big point is that regardless of your journey, whatever it's been, there's a redemptive plan of our God for you. Maybe you've experienced a difficult relationship with your mum. Maybe your mum wasn't able to be in your world. Maybe you lost her way too early. Maybe things just haven't been easy. And for so many mums here have tried to put in all that you do, and there's difficulty in that, and there's pain in that. I just want to honour and acknowledge the journey that you've walked. And just say that Jesus has a redemptive plan for all of you. Some of you won't see it in the next 5 minutes. But he's doing it, he's done it, and he continues to do it. And we're going to pray for some people in a minute. But just before I do, if you're here with us in the room or if you're online, right at the start, when things went south for humanity, immediately God's plan was to make sure that nobody should miss out on a relationship with him that helped them understand their own purpose, that helped them understand intrinsically who they are, that made sure that they were loved and accepted in spite of whatever goes on. Right from the start. It took a bit of time, but at just the right time, from a God perspective, God himself came and was born just like the rest of us. Grew up with all the stuff just like the rest of us. Understood that. All the time knowing he was God and was prepared to be the sacrifice for humanity's brokenness, rebellions, all that's going on. He saw the oppression. He saw the genocides. He saw the craziness of wars. He saw all that. And said, I'm gonna take all that injustice on myself so that actually we can have a relationship with God that gives us future, it gives us purpose, it gives us hope, it gives us healing. And I just want to give an opportunity now before we conclude the service. If you, doesn't matter whether you've been in church a long time or whether it's your first time in church, I just want to give you an opportunity now to make sure that you step into that relationship with God if you haven't already. Doesn't matter how broken your world's been. And when I use the term redemptive plan, that's redemption means to actually take something and put it back together so that it can be. It can be what it was really designed and created to be. Doesn't matter how how far we've gone, the power and the love of God will reach into those places. There's no part of our emotion or our heart that He can't reach and start a journey of healing. Can we just bow our heads, close our eyes just for a minute? If you're online, just engage with this moment for a bit, because I think I'm speaking to somebody online this morning. Or if you're here in the room and you just want to respond, it's not about signing up to a religion. It's not about church membership. It's not about adopting a culture. It's just actually about responding to a God who loves you and wants to see you live the life that you can live for His purpose, for your own sense of peace, and to know that you've got an eternal future that can never be taken away. If that's you, if you're online, send us a message right now. If you're in the room here, just do something really bold. Just give me a wave so I know who I'm praying for this morning. Maybe there are people here and you've prayed a prayer like that once, but you're just not sure where you're at right now. And you need to respond. If that's you, just give me a quick wave. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else here that needs to be part of this prayer this morning? You just might be a bit scared about it. Praise God. Awesome. Is anybody else just before I pray for us all together? I'm going to pray a really simple prayer right now. The power's not so much in the words by themselves. The power is in our response. The power is in what Jesus has done. So just pray with me. We'll pray with those that are making a response right now. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You love me. I thank You there is nothing that I've done that You can't reach. I come to You right now and I ask that You would forgive me. I open my heart to You and I ask You to come in. Thank You for dying for me. I accept Your forgiveness. From this day forward, I choose to follow You. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Well, if you gave us a wave this morning, we just want to get around and encourage you in that. Or if you're online, don't miss that. Don't just let it be a virtual thing, because this is real. This is the most important question that I can ask anybody. Even if you didn't give me a wave this morning, you want to talk to somebody a bit more about that, we'd love to do that. We don't mind you at all. You know, finding your peace in God, in Jesus Christ, is often a journey. It is a journey for everybody. But, you know, some people have a moment where they respond. Others have a long journey of just understanding that and just wanting to hang around and check those things out. You're welcome here to be part, to be in our world, whatever that journey is. Can we just stand right now? And I just want to acknowledge perhaps the uniqueness of what women have carried throughout history, and perhaps the challenges in a new season and a new time. But the big thing is to know that, you know, Jesus is with you. You are redeemed, and he goes before us regardless of what's going on around us. So Lord Jesus, we thank You that all of us have a biological mum, and we thank You for that biological mum. We thank you for those that beyond that have been mothers in our world. We thank you, yeah, for those that have actually, in many cases, you know, stepped into a gap, who have actually come alongside, who have become literal and spiritual mothers to many of us here. We just honor them and thank them in Jesus' name. We acknowledge right now that, you know, for many at this time that we think about pain and loss and brokenness and all the things that go on in the mixed up world that we live in. And we thank you that you are right now bringing healing in those places. We thank you that there are people right now that are praying for sons and daughters and there's all sorts of things that they carry in that. We thank you that you are going to bring about restoration in so many of these places, in so many of these cases, in Jesus' name. And we right now we choose to acknowledge and honor the women in our world, in our society, and we thank you. We thank you that you have brought about a redemptive plan that means that all of us walk with honor and value in you, that in you there is no male or female. We are all one and valuable to you. We thank you for our differences. We thank you for the way that you've created us. Help us to be able to walk with peace and celebrate that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 If you've been online with us, fantastic to have you here. We know there are still a few families that are walking through the whole COVID journey. So if you can't be here this morning and we're reaching you in your house, we're praying for you and we acknowledge what's going on. And we know that God's with us and he's reaching all of us right where we're at. So wonderful to have you. We'll release you during this song. For the rest of us here too, just as we finish this morning, you know, for you, if anything that we've talked about this morning has just brought something up and you'd like someone to stand with you and pray and acknowledge the redemptive power of God, just come forward as we do that. In a minute, Leonie's just going to come and let us know some of the things that are happening in church. But just as we just praise our God and we go into that place of worship, just come and we'll stand with you and we'll pray. And for some people, it's declaring who you are in Christ. Afresh is perhaps what some of us need here this morning. God bless. Great to have you in church this morning.